Welcome to the Uncut Chronicles. I'm Crystal.
I'm Andy.
And we are coming to you with information and topics every day, such as
culture, trending topics, shit your mammy probably don't need to hear.
So come on in with us so we can share more with you about our day. Hey, everybody. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Andy.
And you know we in here cutting up because you know where you at? You're at the Uncut Chronicles. All right. Come on, Andy. What are we talking about today?
Look, Cat Williams, I just asked you, is he a menace or is he a genius?
First of all, let me just start by saying that I think most great people are viewed as being a menace before they're respected for their genius, depending on how they are disrupting industries.
Okay.
I feel with Cat, I don't feel he's a menace. There are very few people that come out and say anything negative about him doing anything to them, about him being disrespectful to individuals, not paying individuals. You really don't hear any of those things. He's not over there, you know, slapping people and pulling ditties on people. I'm just saying. So I feel like with Cat, listen, keep the laughter going, pay your peoples. Be respectful, mind your business. What he did is he told on some of y'all favorites and your greats that you worshiped and didn't know reality. Didn't know the reality of the situation. He told.
Yeah.
And he said he gave y'all years before he was telling. He gave them a chance to fix it. He gave them a chance to make it right. And he wasn't going to speak on it. But since you brought his name up in a negative light, here he come with these receipts.
Look. All I'm saying is everybody had rah-rah, but ain't nobody call him a liar.
Nobody
called him a liar. They had all this rah-rah for him, all this, you know, shut up, defending themselves. It got so bad, Ludacris got in the studio and tried to do a rap rebuttal. I said, boy, what in the hell are what you year is doing? This?
What's happening?
I said, this is terrible.
And I love me some Luda.
I said, Ludacris, get your old ass out of that studio with a rap rebuttal. That's how bad it was after he kind of opened up that Pandora's box with everybody. But I think he's a little bit of both. He's a menace.
How so? Give me an example.
Because he knew what he was doing. First of all, why did we need to know that Steve Harvey's hair was a hairpiece?
Well, somebody had to say it.
And it took me going on Google. I lied to you now. I went on Google to Google his hairpiece back in the day. And I said, why did I never notice this was fake as hell? The Beijing was Beijinging on that hairline damn bad. It was giving Sharpie markers.
Okay, it had charcoal seasoning on it. Like, that's how thick it was.
And I was so gagged because for the longest time, I thought that was Steve Harvey's hair. And so then somebody had, I don't know, was you or somebody else brought up a valid point. They were like, hold on. If it was his hair, when people go bald, you kind of still see the hair follicles in their head when they cut their hair off, especially when they go bald. She said Steve Harvey's head was ice, Mr. Clean.
Slick. Like somebody's mouth. Let me tell you, all the way back.
All I'm saying is, Cat, I'll tell you a joke, but he won't tell you a motherfucking lie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people trying to say, oh, well, what about his addiction? He said that he don't do drugs. Listen to me. Yes, he did. He told you he smokes weed for a living, that he had a weed roller, blunt roller, way before Snoop ever had one. He's like, and you can ask Snoop, do I outroll him? And he'll tell you, yeah. He goes, that's my main thing. Mm-hmm. He said, if you don't believe me, look up my charges. Was I ever found with any coke or heroin or PCP or anything heavy? He said, no. Okay, well, I mean, he might be looking a hot mess at times in some of them photos, but that could have been after about 12,000 drinks.
This is true.
And a couple puffs.
And y'all know how y'all look after drinking and smoking all night.
Half of y'all can't get it together, you know, for a Sunday, Monday morning after a Saturday.
I'll be looking like Fantasia on stage, just hair sweated out, sweating, fighting for my life. So I ain't even gonna sit over here and act like I ain't look crazy either. So... I think he's a genius too, yep. Because one, he gave himself so much promotion for his tour to the point them tickets are outrageous.
Girl, I got me some.
Okay, I'm buying some too.
But the ticket price are outrageous and the people are buying them up, myself included. Mm-hmm. So And it got so bad, he made comedians go on tour because I felt like they had something to prove after that interview. Because where did Ricky Smiley come from out of nowhere going on tour?
And who bought him? Who? Okay. I'm just asking. You know, he brought up some good points, though. He talked about some of your favorite comedians and things that he wouldn't stand for as a man. Side note. Mm-hmm. Now, Cat ain't but 5 foot, 3, 4, 5, however tall he is. He little, but he know he little. Put some respect on that. I'm little, too. No judgment. I'm only 4'11". I got a big spirit, though. The point is that I don't know if y'all know this, but little guys, you know, y'all always want those 6 foot. He got to be 6 foot. Let Cat told you. I mean, little dudes be packing mad punch. They come with the facts. I mean, for real, think about it, Cat, Prince. We could go on for days. Little dudes, they know what they want because they have a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. So Cat, he told y'all, you know, so-and-so stole my joke. Y'all went back and dug in the archives and found it. Where was the lie?
It was so much is this you moment. This you? This you? Cedric the Entertainer couldn't even come. He couldn't even, like, rebuttal.
He could be like, you know, you got it, man.
He
you
said,
know,
you're too old for this. Duh, we know you too old for this. However, did he tell a lie?
No. And the young comedians that start coming out of all ethnic persuasion, they were like, hey, I love Cat. This is why. When nobody would pay me to do a show, he thought I was super funny, and he brought me on tour, and I made this much. Or when a club didn't want to pay me at all, Cat was backstage listening and put, like, shook my hand and put money in my hand, and nobody ever knew. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about character. You can't purchase it.
Sure
can. Hey, if you're just a shitty individual, you're a shitty individual. And so I really love the way Cat embodies. Now, he may not be in the package people expect. Mm-hmm. He might not say the things that it takes to be politically correct, because that's not his job. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. But he also is intelligent. And he showed y'all that he is about more than just these jokes. He proved it. But, you know, I think that it showed that this is the year of truth. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a lot of truth coming out in all communities and backgrounds. I think Cat put people on the spot. He really did. And I think Shannon Sharp was trying not to sweat out his little tan workout outfit. It was too small anyway. But the point is that, you know, Shannon, he was getting nervous. Cat, ain't nobody else going to come on the show. Cat, no more drinks. Cat said, you've been drinking more than me.
Hell. And I feel like that he tried to use the alcohol as an excuse for him telling his truth. And he said, he had called him. He said, no, I'm sober minded. I haven't been drinking like you just said. I know what the fuck I said. And I said, what the fuck I said. And I said, okay, well, stand on business. I ain't even mad about it. What I am mad about, though, is I think Uncle Shay Shay, and don't get me wrong, love Uncle Shay Shay now bad. That's a fine ass black man.
He is. Don't you just want to stare at him a little bit?
I love me some Uncle Shay Shay with them big ass teeth. I do.
He bought them. It's fine.
But Uncle Shay Shay was the worst person to do this interview.
Was he?
Yes.
Why?
Because he wasn't asking the good questions, the follow-up questions. Yes, because I'm like, he was too scared to get himself canceled. And you could tell he was.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's true.
He was. And you know what? Part of me can't blame him. Because one, he already had some stuff going on where he left the show with Skip. Yeah. But two, it's like he had an opportunity there and the fear of getting canceled made him retract and kind of be silent the whole interview. Because, baby, I would have been asking questions. I'd be like, fat phase on ass, who, what he do and who can't read and why he can't read. Give me an example.
I'm trying to buy a shirt that says you a fat phase on lie.
You a fat phase on lie. And I wanted to know all the juicy details. I wanted to know, when did you see Steve Harvey with that fake toupee on? When did this happen? How did this happen? Who is the lady? I need to get her on the show now, not later. Who's the hairdresser?
That's true.
I would have been asking these, I mean, messy, yes. But I would have been asking these questions. And I feel like Uncle Shay Shay was kind of scared to deep dive because you could see him trying to shuffle through his cards.
He was like, I'm so confused. I have no question to ask next. That was almost hilarious to watch because you see Shannon Sharp somewhat struggling to find words. It's gone in a direction he didn't expect. Cat saying stuff about people he just had on his show. He knows a Cat wouldn't respond. Like Cat said, why'd you have them on your show and let them say it about me? See, now I got to respond on your show. And I was like, ooh.
Well, and I think that's fair because he needed just like anybody else. You're going to talk shit about me or say whatever about me. You got to give me an opportunity to clear my name or clear it up. Mm-hmm. I feel like that. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have no problem bringing everybody else on talking cash trash about Cat. Now when Kat rebuttal, now all of a sudden it's like, oh, Kat, you drinking. Oh, Kat, don't say that. Ain't nobody going to come on this show. You didn't feel like that when they was talking about Kat? So I kind of side out Uncle Shay Shay there.
True. And I feel like they tried to paint a picture of Kat being some addict that's washed up. But people didn't realize that he was still fronting and putting on massive comedy tours and has done so for years.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even if he wasn't in them, he was still producing those events. Mm-hmm. That's not cheap.
No, not at all. So,
and Kat's also a great writer. Mm-hmm. His comedic timing is mind-blowing. If you watch him, he will build a joke so smooth for so long. By the time you get into it with him, you know, it's like you ride in the car with him. You know, he's amazing.
He's a good storyteller.
He's a great storyteller.
He's a really good storyteller, and I feel like that's a lost art with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great storyteller. I don't care how fucking outrageous the story is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm invested because what happened? And that was one thing I really liked about him on that interview. I feel like, yes, it was an interview, but he was telling a story about everything. And I feel like Uncle Shay Shay.
You missed a few points on that. I mean, like he said, you know, losers, you know, you can't just be hanging with them losers. But, you know, I'll say this too. Like, Kat is freaking, Kat is hilarious because also, like, you could tell when talking about his family became personal and kind of difficult for him. He was trying to be as respectful as he could while still being honest. Mm-hmm. And you could tell when it got hard enough, and I will give Shannon that he backed off a little bit when he noticed that respectively, because you could tell there was still some pain there. Mm-hmm. You can tell, of course, Kat discussed coming from a religious background, kind of how that influenced him and the difficulty in it, but how he never talked about his father being a horrible man. He just said that we are two different men.
Mm.
And he said, yeah, he tried to run up on me. You know, he alluded to the fact that he got into a disagreement with his father, but he never intended to disrespect him. And he was pretty clear on that. I thought that was a pretty respectful stance take on that, you know. So I give him that. But as far as Faison and them, listen, I'm kind of with him. How can somebody that's never had a Netflix special talk about they giving them away for free? If they so free, how come you don't have one? I saw the last movie did on Tubi. It was bullshit. I had to turn it off in the first 5 minutes. Faison, if you put on one more goddamn Santa Claus outfit, we all gonna pass out. We are. Like, I don't know if that's a Santa belt or if that's just you, but all I know is it don't look healthy. I'm not a fan of this. And I thought it was very, very disrespectful for Faison to come on, you know, social media the way he did afterwards, defending the bullshit and the lies. How dare you? You probably need to be Kat's friend so he can pay you and put you on some comedy specials, but you know, that requires that we kiki-ki it up a little bit.
Hell, he ain't going to do that. And I think a lot of that stuff of...
It's jealousy.
Yeah, jealousy and ego-driven with a lot of them. Because, you know, where they are now, they're like, oh, I made it. And I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. And Kat like, no, you not. Because I remember X, Y, and Z about you. Oh, you was telling people you did this X, Y, and Z accomplishment? Oh, no, Boogie, I was there when we put the ink on the paper for that deal. And I feel like, almost like Steve Harvey with building his legacy on lies, Kat kind of pulled the Jenga block and it all came falling down.
Yep.
And so I enjoyed the interview. And then I was like, he did another interview. And oh my God, I cannot think of the other guy's name he did an interview with. And it was almost like the guy was trying to like paint him in a different light, because I think he wanted a viral moment like Uncle Shay Shay's interview with him. He wanted like that viral moment with Kat. And you could literally tell like how visibly uncomfortable Kat was on the interview. Like he would be asking questions and then he was like, well, you know, they were trying to say in the comments, oh, Kat's scared to answer these questions. He's not. I'm like, no, the guy is literally like pressing him and not in like a journalistic way, but I'm trying to get a moment out of you way. And you could tell Kat just completely shut down, held his composure, and he really like didn't really give him much of what he was looking for. And kind of going back to your narrative about how they tried to paint Kat, then they tried to say, oh, now he ain't got all that mouth. Oh, so what he must have said was a lie, because he didn't answer X, Y, and Z about, you know, when he asked him this and asked him that. And I'm like, are we watching the same interview?
They was lying.
Are we watching the same interview?
They were lying. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And I feel like also, you know, he talked about how some of the comedians run a group.
Mm-hmm.
and how they click up and they link up and they give work to each other, but they try to isolate others from having those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And Kat was like, they don't have a monopoly on this industry. Just like he talked about in Friday, he was like, I think there was some confusion because even Ice Cube came on and said that, you know, Kat was being pretty truthful about what he said. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the only thing is that he didn't create the character. But Kat never said he created the character. Kat said that he improved the character. Mm-hmm. It might have been written as one type of way, and he thought it should be viewed another way. He told him, I promise you, if you take this part of this out, I'll make this so funny to go down in history books. And he did just that. Mm-hmm. He said the costume, the hair, the vehicle, mm-hmm. he said all of that was his idea on the look, the colors, the glitter, the walk. He said he studied and he wanted it to be hilarious. Mm-hmm. And he said he did write additional material for it. You know, for others who wore a dress for whatever reason, either by choice or by option, both are the same. You know, he just said that, you know, he did what he had to do, but he wasn't wearing one.
And I feel like everybody got mad at him for saying that.
Why?
Because I think a lot of it was like, well, you know, you're talking down on them. You think you're above them and, you know, they still are great in their own right, even if they did that. And I'm like, that's good and fine. But what Kat is really saying is I didn't have to demean myself. I didn't have to do a minstrel show of a black woman to get where I'm at. They did. Big Mama's House. The granny that Ricky Smiley play and whatever other thing he had, he was in a dress in. Like he said, I didn't have to create, and that's how I took it.
Yeah.
I didn't take it as like, oh, you just talking about they're emasculating them as men and putting them in a dress. No, I'm like, he didn't have to create a black woman minstrel show to gain success.
Mm-hmm. And he felt like other black men shouldn't have to either.
No.
That shouldn't be dependent on them breaking into the industry or getting other options.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just didn't feel that was who I needed to be. And I think what you have to respect is that he had a standard. Mm-hmm. He stood 10 toes on it. And he brought you hilarious comedy. But let me tell you, they couldn't have put Bernie in a dress.
No.
Bernie would have never accepted that. And Bernie would have said the same thing. So the reality is like, Kat ain't saying nothing that other true comedians wouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of your favorites haven't worn a dress. Wearing a dress should not be a requirement for your skill set. If it's something you choose to do, that's one thing. We all have our opinions on that. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't be a requirement. But I'll tell you something. When he did crack that joke about, you know, once you get big, you got to get a funny face, light-skinned wife, sis, I low-key died, okay? I did scream and cackle very, very, very loud. Shit was fucking funny. Because then when you did think about it, you was like, well, damn, they do all kind of, never mind.
Because what do you say? It come with the package.
Come with the package.
And he didn't tell a lie. Because think about your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
What they wife look like?
Funny face, light skin for $500.
That's all I'm going to say.
Boy, I was like, whoa. You can't tell me. You can't tell me in a message in a bottle. Come on. I mean, he's got a point. And even if it doesn't exactly happen that way, clearly you must be guided in that direction because it's much more common than what people really want to give credit for.
Oh, yeah.
Kat was hilarious about that, you know? So much respect has to be given to him for the honesty. Mm-hmm. And even if you want to say, well, 50% of it is made up, okay, maybe so. But look at how he skyrocketed not only his career that much further and others that are coming with him that he's producing their entertainment with him.
Exactly.
It's not just for him. Or, you know, we forget about the children that he's raising, not all of which have come from his body. He's raising several of them.
Which is why I said, is he a genius or is he a menace?
He's a genius and I love it.
All
right. I love it. You know, maybe it's official. Maybe dude's under, you know, under 5'8" with half perms, half natural. Maybe they can get it too. You know, maybe because it's feeling a lot like Cat Christmas in here. Like, no, like for real. Maybe we need to give little dudes their props because first of all, as long as you're taller than me, you qualify. But whatever, that don't take much. I'm only 4'11". But the point is that I think that you have to respect him as a man all day. You really do. Highly intelligent, articulate. His character as a man. Like, you know, he might have his own struggles, but we all do. But one thing you don't hear about is him mistreating others, him trashing others. You know, like he said, Monique been trying to tell y'all for years. Period. And you didn't want to listen.
Period. Period.
you blackballed her. And she's been saying the same thing. So, you know, people love to hate you until they're forced to love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of greats in this country like that, that people, when they were alive, hated their guts, tried to take their lives. And now all of a sudden they have a day and they're held and they're respecting their love. You didn't love them back then. Let's not romanticize this thing.
Ooh.
So if you guys are going to do this to Kat and say what you got to say, just know that everything that he said has receipts. People have backed it up. There's proof. And some of y'all, he did a whole timeline on y'all career and said, how can you be here when you were really there?
Mm. That's why I said he'll tell you a joke, but he didn't tell you a lie. And that's why I'm like, I truly think him shaking, starting off the year, shaking this shit up was probably the best thing he could have ever done. Best thing he could have ever done. And I hope, like, for the future for Kat, and he grows even more from this, like, his career, his status, because I feel like it's hard to find truthful people in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how weird the industry is. And how, you know, everybody is not your friend. Everybody does not have the best interest for you. And I, one thing I really, really, really hope for him, that he remains protected on his journey, because he hit the hornet's nest. And I'm telling you right now, that ain't the last, but the rebuttals ain't died down.
No, because he already said some of y'all favorites haven't been the same since Epstein Island. And I was like, oh, my, you're right. We ain't seen some stuff in a while, you know. So I just think a lot of things that they were hoping would stay quiet aren't. And he was like, you're just not going to come for me. You're just not going to come for me when you're really not that funny.
Period.
And so I'm like, I mean, we all know some folks that, you know, they are not what they portray themselves to be. So I love Kat.
I do too. And I wish him nothing but the best. And I wish him nothing but protection over his life, over his family, as he is on his journey. Because... baby, oh, they mad.
You think they're gonna try to get him back though? And
oh,
if
yeah.
So, how?
They're gonna find a way. It's almost like a Diddy thing. Like, Diddy is calculating how to get back at Cassie. Okay. He is. But he know he can't do it right now. And that's the thing with Kat. They can't retaliate right now, because it's gonna be blatantly obvious that whatever Kat said you all fucking did, y'all did that shit.
Men are petty though. So there might be some attempts, you're right, on mm-hmm. like hurting tours or doing other things, but I don't know. His notoriety at this point, he's had so much career prior to this mm-hmm. that it's like a good mattress you jumping on.
They plotting. They gonna find a way.
You see, DL kept his mouth shut though. DL Hughley. Cause DL Hughley's a pretty dope guy too. So DL Hughley, no, I don't like the way she just blinked her eyes. Why? You don't like him?
That's another day.
But why don't you like him? Outside of his political content.
This is Andy.
We know who she is. We already know. I need to know why she don't like DL. Hughley.
And you are listening to the Uncut Chronicles podcast.
I need to know this. Okay, fine. All I'm saying is I am eager to know. I'll catch you on the next episode and find out. But I like how he took his time and he picked who he was going to call out and who he didn't. And if you didn't mess with him, he didn't mess with you. So I'm Crystal.
And I'm Andy.
And this has been another dope moment with the Uncut Chronicles. Peace.
Peace to everybody but D.O.
The Uncut Chronicles is part of the Breaking Ice, Building Bridges community podcast platform, brought to you by Possibilities.